But now what I'm going to do, I'll just give you a demo basically what the developer experience is for building a ClickOnce application and deploying it. Let's go from there.
Cool.
So I'm going to go into Visual Studio, and this is the Visual Studio for WIDB. And I'm going to create a new project. And we'll make a C# Windows application project. This is just like I would do for any normal Windows project, Windows app that I was building. So I've got my app, I've got my form designer like we're used to. You know, I can go drag my button on there, fill my application. All right, so now that I've built my application, I've got my rich, you know, one-button Windows form application. Let's say it's time to deploy it now. Well, normally, when you need to deploy an application, what do? Well, you go create a separate project, you build an MSI project, add all your files to it, all that kind of stuff, right? But now what we've done is we've actually integrated the deployment experience into the design time experience for your actual application. So I can just go to the build menu, and I could build it. So we can go ahead and build it and make sure the thing builds, and let's hope it builds. Yes, it does, in fact, build. But I could have also just gone publish solution. So I click publish solution. This will pull up a publishing wizard. What this is going to do is it's just going to walk me through the question I need to deploy my application with ClickOnce. And it's going to ask me, where do I want to deploy it? Do I want to deploy it to my local web server? I can deploy it via FTP, via front page server extensions, via file shares. We actually deploy these ClickOnce applications to a server the same exact way we deploy ASP.NET and web services to a server. And ClickOnce supports being deployed on any HTTP 1.1 server, so it could be IIS, it could be Apache. We also support being deployed over file shares. But once I've selected where I want to deploy, in this case I'm going to deploy it to my local web server, I get one question, and that's, what type of application do I want? Do I want it to be an online-offline app or an online-only application? And there's a couple differences between the two. The big is, do I want this to be an application that acts just like a web page, where I click on a link to run the application, and then I run the application, and then when I'm done, I close it and it's gone? Or do I want it to be more like a client application where I can click on a link to run it, but I can also click on it from the start menu, click on it from add and remove programs, and it acts like a traditional client application in addition to be web auto-updatable, right? So those are kind of two different styles of application. But in this case, I'll just say, you know, let's make it available online, offline. Click next. One more question to create a key file because we need to sign these ClickOnce applications again for security. I'll just let it auto-generate a key file for me right now. I could have picked my own, generated my own, what have you. I'll click finish. And in the output window, it's going to go ahead and rebuild the application. Then it's going to connect to the web server. And it's going to generate all of the XML files that drive ClickOnce, because we actually are driven by ClickOnce manifest files. And you see, of course, we get an error. And I'm able to just create the bear with me for a second here. This is interesting. Just rebooted. I'm not sure my web server is even running. Now let's go ahead and try this guy. There we go. Then when it's done, let me crank up the font size here. When it gets done, it generates a test HTML page for me, kind of like you do for web services. And all I have to do is go click this link to run the application. And probably hard to see, but in the very bottom in the status bar, you actually see this is a link to a .application file. That's one of the XML manifest files that drive ClickOnce. And in this case, this is the entry point to the application. So we actually have a MIME filter registered for this particular type. And that's what invokes ClickOnce through IE and starts up our ClickOnce process. But I'll just click the link to run the application. In this case, I'm going to get a trust dialog. And this, I'm getting the trust dialog because by default, we're saying the application is asking for full trust. I'll show you in a second the security UI where you can actually control exactly what permissions the application is getting. But this is a pretty severe application because it's just got a default signature. I can pull up more information and I can see, no, I don't have an authentic code certificate yet. It's asking for full trust. It's asking to be installed instead of just run. But it is coming from the local network, so that's kind of good. There's a lot of these type of factors that go into how severe we make the prompt, and it adjusts to help the user know whether they should click yes or no. So, for example, if this had a known publisher, this icon would be yellow, indicating, you know, there's a lot less likelihood that this guy's bad, and you have more information to make a decision. But I'll click install, and it's a small app, so you'll get very brief progress UI. But if it had been a larger app, it would have taken a lot longer. And there you go, I'm running the application. Next time I want to run the application, boom, running the application, easy as that. Every time you run it through the website, just like a web app, you always get the latest version. So if I wanted to update this application, let's just go back here, and let's make some kind of noticeable change. And whenever I make any kind of noticeable change, it's always got to be to make it look better. And as anybody from Virginia Tech knows, there's nothing better looking than some maroon and orange. So now that I've got my vastly improved application, I'm going to go ahead and republish it. All my settings are already there. I'll just click Finish. And now run the application from here. Notice I very briefly downloaded the new version of the application, and there it is, running the new version. I can also launch the application because we added a start menu link. This was, you see, I've done a lot. This was Windows Application 17. And there you go, I'm running it from the start menu. If I wanted to update it, I could do the same thing. It would update it when I run it from the start menu as well. There's actually a number of options you can control when you're doing the updates. You can see if I open up, if you haven't seen the new version of Visual Studio, you probably don't know what this piece of UI is. This is the application designer, basically a nice view on all of your project settings. We've got a couple of new tabs. One is the security tab. And this is where I was talking about before, where you can actually go in and say, you know what, my application only needs the local intranet permissions. Or maybe it needs local intranet plus, you know, one additional file I/O permission, right? And you can actually customize exactly the permissions your application needs. You can also use a permission calculator, which will go through and do a code analysis to figure out what permissions your application is actually using. Now, this is really cool because this actually all feeds into other features inside of Visual Studio. So if you now were to go hit F5, it would debug it with these permissions. So if you're going to get a security permission, security exception when you deploy the application over the internet, if you configure your security here, you'll get a security exception when you're debugging inside of Visual Studio as well. IntelliSense also picks up on what, well, in the security settings and filters out the methods, properties, and such that you wouldn't already have. So that's pretty interesting. The other interesting thing about for Click Once is this Publish tab. Publish tab basically lets you control a bunch of advanced Click Once settings. Things like when you update your application. You know, should the application update before the app starts, in the background? Should it do it every 7 days, every time the application runs? Let you throttle how the updates checks. Should the updates be optional, or should the user be required to take the update, like if it was a bad security bug, for example? Other things such as prerequisites. So you asked before, you know, what happens if the user doesn't already have .NET Framework on the machine? Well, actually, it would have detected that. But what we do is we automatically generate a bootstrapper file which will install the .NET Framework. And you can also come in here and say, you know what, not only do I need the .NET Framework, I also need Crystal Reports and MDAC. And the bootstrapper will automatically be set up to install those prerequisites. You can add your own prerequisites to this, so you can basically have the bootstrapper do whatever it needs to do at the first install time. So there's just a whole number of advanced settings you can go through here. If I were to go, let's make one more change. Why don't we add one more button down here, publish this one more time. So now, instead of launching it via the web, I'll just go launch it via the start menu. And because I had it configured to check for updates every time the application runs, and it was optional updates, which means the user has a choice of either taking the update or skipping the update, I get the choice. I'll take the update, briefly download the new version of the application, and there you go, there's my new version with my new button. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that we've got users out there that are just overwhelmed, right? It used to be they could go click their button, but now they have two buttons, they don't know what to do, right? Like they're overwhelmed. Generating a whole bunch of help desk calls, bunch of problems, you want to take back the last update, right? You could do it a couple ways. You could go on the server and you could actually undo the update We actually have a tool that for administrators called Mage, the manifest generator and editor, that lets you edit and manipulate the manifest to do rollbacks. But you know, as the user, right, or the person on the help desk, you could just tell the user, okay, well, just go to your control panel. We're just going to repair the application. Because this is an installed application, I also have a link in my start menu, and it was Windows Application 17. Click Change Remove, and I'll say restore this application to its previous state. There we go. Done. It's very quick, because we actually keep multiple copies of the application alive in our cache. But now I go run the application, and boom, I've rolled back to the previous version of the application, so I'm actually able to do undos. And the question everybody asks when I say this is, yes, when next time I run it, I won't be asked again. We actually record that the user didn't like that particular version and avoid re-updating the application until yet another version is published by the administrator. So that's basically click once in a simple form end-to-end.
Does the developer have control of how many start things it puts in the start menu?
Yeah, so by default, basically in our manifest, you have, according to logo, the way that you populate the start menu is you have the publisher company name, right? And then you have the product name, right? So in this case, actually, the reason everything's showing up here, and this is probably, you know, it's just because this is my machine that I'm using here, is it's in Microsoft because I'm Microsoft, an employee, right? So my company is Microsoft. I could have put this to be whatever I wanted, right? And then it's got a link here. So that's how it gets controlled. So that's what that's coming from.
Cool.
Oh, I could talk for this for hours. but this is that's the highlights and debate in a nutshell.
Yeah. How long did it take to work to come up with this?
It's the WIDI release itself has been going on for a couple years now. We've been working on for ClickOnce pretty much from the start. It's kind of evolved to take on a lot of different shapes. Our original prototypes of this was actually, if you're familiar, using the Bits technology inside of Windows,
yeah,
to do true background network downloads. But, the .NET framework supports Windows 98 and Windows 2000 and a bunch of down-level OSs. So Bits doesn't, so we actually had to go rewrite the ClickOnce engine to only use the system.NET class libraries and the framework as its mechanism of doing the downloading. So we made a lot of changes like that. We're actually going to have that kind of true background download with Bits support in the next version of ClickOnce, which actually is like a 1.1 release of ClickOnce, which is coming out with the next version of the Windows client, codenamed Longhorn.
Okay. Does this work on any Windows-based browser, you know, like Firefox or Opera or just Internet Explorer?
So basically all of our hooks are through Earlmon. So anybody that uses the standard Windows URL APIs, MSN Explorer, MSN Messenger, Word, Outlook, right? You name it, it'll work, right? Netscape doesn't use those APIs to my knowledge, so it doesn't work on Netscape, right? So there's some limitations there, but for the most part, anybody uses the core Windows APIs, right? It works. I mean, I can go start run, type the URL in, and it'll work,
okay,
right? So.
What happens if somebody on, let's say, a Linux box or a Macintosh box clicks on one of these links? What will they see?
So what would happen by default, you can customize your web pages to do really anything you want. But by default, with the web pages we auto-generate for you, we detect that the framework's not there, then we'd give you a link to the bootstrapper to install the framework, which would then detect that, you know, you're not a Windows OS or, you know, it wouldn't run at that point. Probably if you're targeting... I mean, it's a fair question, right? Like, you could have an application, because one of the cool things you can do with this type of thing is have, like, a version of your app that's written as a web app, right? And then have a richer front end built as a Windows client application on it, and then basically detect all the right circumstances and only use our application in that case, right? Kind of like an adaptive UI model.
Okay.